welcome to the September 18th, 2019 Cambria Community Healthcare District Board Meeting. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready to begin?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation,
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a quorum. Lauren Mulier is absent and excused. Is there anyone who would like to make a public comment for items not on the agenda? Moving on then to the consent agenda, item C1, the minutes of the August 21st meeting. Any comments on that?
Where are we going to do the financial review?
Within the body of the consent agenda now. So we also have the ambulance activity report and the financials and budget analysis reports.
I would like to pull number 2 and number 3.
Okay. May I have a motion to...
minutes or...
from the consent agenda.
Oh. Okay, but let's stick to the minutes first.
Okay.
Does anyone... No changes or corrections to the minutes?
No.
May I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
4-0. Would anyone like to pull anything in the ambulance activity report?
Yes, I'd like to pull that. I have a question. On page 5... in the upper left-hand corner that has incident totals, and it compares 2019 to 2018 and comes down to total incidents of 113 for 2019 and 121 for 2018. Those numbers don't add up. It doesn't fit. Could you help us understand why?
Yes, I'd be happy to. I looked into that issue myself. Apparently, the software that tabulates that the total incidents with says 113, 121 includes other incidents types that are not in that box. So once you add those in, those numbers become more accurate. And it's a simple fix. Moving forward, we can either add those incidents in or change the total formulation to just add those totals, those incident totals up on future reports.
What's an example of one that's not in there right now?
I was discussing it with staff about, for example, it talks about dry runs, standbys, buses, walk-ins. It doesn't take into effect the transport tolls, and there's other types of what do you call it? Like multiple patients. If there's two patients, one incident. There's other types that have been left out of that list in that box, but are added into that. The formula is still there to add in those numbers into the total. So it's a glitch that I need to know which direction you want to go. Do I add those incidents back?
If you take the total dry runs, mm-hmm. total standbys, mm-hmm. and total transports, that's what adds up to 113.
Sorry, say again?
Take total dry runs, 24, mm-hmm. total standbys, 35, and total transports, 54. That adds up to the 113.
Exactly.
Maybe an asterisk that says includes transport.
Transports, exactly. We could do that. Or we can
Yeah. So just put an asterisk by 113 and 121 and say includes transports, shown at right.
I had a question on page 14, I believe it is. Nope. Hi, Tim. On page 10. On page 10 of the ambulance activity report, there's a note about a delayed response on Lodge Hill, and again, it just says distance. We are following those kind
of... I think if you look in Tim's narrative, it's called that.
Okay.
So...
Narrative.
The narrative... that starts, good afternoon, directors.
The report that we got today?
Okay. Well, I got mine the other day when I went by the office.
Okay, I shall read.
It's on the second page, run report times. And what it was, well, since Tim just arrived, I'll let him describe.
Yeah, so the run number 190883 shows the distance and delay. The reason for that is because this MedCom happened to be dispatching other calls. There was multiple incidents that night, I think, that they were dispatching. So with the continuation of the radio traffic and all of that stuff, it took a minute and 2 seconds longer because we couldn't transmit to let them know we were on scene until the radio traffic stopped. We were actually on scene, but because they were moving ambulances around and doing stuff like that, we couldn't explain to them that we were on scene. We had to wait.
So they can't send and receive simultaneously.
Right. When they're busy dispatching one unit, that's their priority. They were dispatching multiple units.
So in reality, we're late.
No.
So if you might consider amending the report so that it doesn't say distance, because what you just explained to me doesn't sound like distance. It sounds like dispatch challenge or something like that.
Right, and that's something that we're working on. Jeremy and I are working on getting defined definitions. So we still have to tweak those.
The other thing you could consider doing, if you wished, for the reports that go to the board and the public, is you could, before they're copied, you could make a note in ink on the page that would make it more clear so we wouldn't take up your time asking you at times like this.
Okay.
If it works. It's just the better the reports are, it goes into perpetuity that way, too, in case anybody ever wants to look. They won't think it was... They won't know. They won't have the value or the benefit of your explanation. They'll just have the report when they look back on it.
And while we're on the report, just a clerical moving on the decimal point. We need to, on vehicle mileage, we need to move the decimal point to follow 4 instead of follow 0. Because we don't have an ambulance with 868,000 miles. We had one with 86,824.
That might have been a typo.
Yeah, that's
right. Okay. And
then you're going to start reporting mileage on unit 20.
Yes.
And Bill, you wanted to go to the financials and budget analysis.
Yes. My first comment has to do with page 13 and 14 in the budget package, where we're talking about the line item titled licenses and permits. That includes the life code dues of $7,035.97. What was the amount of the life code dues last year?
I would be happy to answer that. It is the same time last year. Same month each year, once a year. Last year it was $6,045.60, and it does vary year to year.
How come he was prepared to answer that question? That's impressive.
I share questions.
I have friends.
The problem.
See, I'm used to going to meetings for 3 years where the answer was all I had to ask.
My problem with that, Mike, is that if you hand that over, this is the same budget analysis, but for the 12 months ended June 30, 2019. And if you go across the line item licenses and permits, I don't see that $6,000.
You're correct, and because it actually, the amount that's listed even this year is slightly different than the LAFCO dues. And so I asked that question, and licenses and permits is not just LAFCO. We pay for employees' TB tests, we had some new hires, or other permits and license fees may slightly alter that figure. It's not just LAFCO.
Okay, but what was the amount in August of 2018? Do you have the sheet?
On here?
Yeah.
It's like 2215, but I also want to see this spread out over 3 months.
This would be probably told them to spread the payments.
So August, September, October has
remember
2215, 2165. So
this was before.
That's right. Before we were on the board, they were trying to conserve cash.
Right.
And they were told.
Okay, if that's the answer, that's fine. I just couldn't find
the
comparable amount.
Number the $6,045 is that's
okay. Asked and answered. Thank you. My next comments have to do with page 17, which is the monthly summary of revenue and expenses for the month of August. And my first question has to do with revenue. We were down ambulance revenue by $16,884. Is there anything going on with ambulance revenue that we should know about?
Not that I've been able to discover. It's just, it was just down, and unless Tim has the insight, but I don't believe it's, I wasn't able to discover any definitive reason for it other than
okay.
It was just down.
Thank you.
I mean, let's see here.
Yeah, there's a lot of variables there, the question.
Transports are up, so you would think that revenue would be up.
But the transports occur at a different time than the revenue comes in.
Thank you.
The revenue is reflected in all several lines of transports.
But we were under last month as well.
Mm-hmm. So, again, this may be related. Again, I venture to guess, but maybe you're related to what we're looking at with billing and those kind of accounts receivables.
Could you speak up for?
Oh, I'm sorry. it may be related to the accounts receivables and collection rates and things like that. Just getting in and investigating. I can't guarantee that at this point. Just
okay.
But what I'm also understanding is that you're not seeing a change in the type of calls transports we're making.
My next question has to do with labor costs and this combination of administrative, full-time, and part-time. All three of those line items exceeded the budgeted amount to the tune of almost $7,500. What was going on in the month of, July and August, because there's always a lag in the payroll system, that was causing those negative variances?
I believe it's related to the we had new hires in training. We paid for their training process or ride-alongs, training, all that stuff. So I would anticipate it hit. We hired 16 employees.
Yeah, we hired 6 new reserve EMTs. So we had to do all of their training. We also had to increase and overtime our budget for staffing because we were down employees. Without hiring these 6, we were paying full-time employees 5.5 wages to keep ambulances covered because we didn't have employees to back up. So we were paying more out for full-time employees working overtime until we got these 60 people in the system.
Okay, so we would expect next month that would come back down.
That should come down because all of them are done with their training except for one and they're working shifts.
Okay.
So we're actually able to save with having the part-time employees working instead of paying the full-time employees overtime rate.
But you did hire another full-time.
We have not hired anyone.
Oh, you have not?
No. We do actually run, like, we run Matthew Westbrook on board full time. that was our last one. He's been on for a month and a half, I believe.
And he was part time?
He was part time.
Bill, would there be any benefit to considering at some point adding a training orientation kind of line item so that that money could be planned for and more easily understood, or do you like it being in the body of the whole?
I'd rather where it is, because it tells us that it makes sense that the largest of those items would be the part-time one, because you hired, whatever you said, five or six part-timers, and you had them in for a number of days. Orientation training and
correct. And we did something a little different, so that's probably why the numbers are a little different. In the past, they would trickle in every now and then on a shift and do training, and they would have multiple different people trying to train them. We found that they weren't getting the right training, so we changed it up this year and actually did a 3-day academy where they all came in, they all got the same information at the same time, they all got the same training. So that it made it easier when they came out to do the stuff in the field, they all knew exactly what was expected of them. Versus having somebody, one person tell them one thing, another person tell them another.
I understand.
They had to hear it all from you.
Yeah.
The next question goes down to this. There's obviously a variance in licensing and permits, and we've already chatted about that. The other is legal fees. There's a major variance in what we budgeted versus what is in legal fees. And I understand that issue is scheduled for further discussion in the meeting.
We can discuss it. We're in it in closed session.
Sure.
We have a discussion generally, but is that what you're referring
to?
Yeah.
The point I want to make on this is the process of getting a bill paid is obviously the invoice comes in, and then there's an approval process. Once it's approved, a check is cut, okay? And then the check needs to be signed. Okay? Where the issue was raised with this particular invoice was at the check signing stage of that. At that point, the check has already been cut. Once the check is cut, it's in the accounting system. So if there is any adjustment to this based on further discussions, this check should be voided and a new check issued for the new amount, which should create some sort of credit at that point in time on the legal expense line.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to understand that if we're going to take exception to any invoice from any vendor on any issue, we should do it at the approval level and stop there before the check is cut, because once the check is cut, it's in the accounting system.
From a practical standpoint, though, without having the administrator inquire each time of each director, are you okay with this invoice? From a practical standpoint, this is going to happen now and then.
It's going to happen now and then, but I'd rather, whatever the frequency is, it be reduced.
Well, there are certain bills that involve a variety of people to create the cost, like a legal bill, where it might be the administrator and it might be a director or the president or whatever. So those bills, I think, only the people who've been part of those conversations can understand the purpose and the nature and the duration of those issues and calls. So I would think that the high value, the higher cost bills and the ones that that only the people involved could approve should be seen by those people before you write a check. If it's over a certain amount, or if it involves something that those people, only those people know enough to approve.
I mean, we've taken exception in the past to, say, an employee putting in for mileage from their home to a meeting rather than from station 81 to the median, right? Now, how would the administrator, I mean, I guess, anyway, those are going to be the few and far between that come up that are then held and not signed.
It might be an appropriate item for discussion in the Finance Committee if there is a guideline that you could give staff that would help them do what you have in mind. You might talk about it briefly at one of your meetings and see if you can describe in some detail how it could work, which kinds of checks or how you see it happening.
Okay, we can put that on the agenda.
At your discretion.
It's more, the reason I'm raising this is to talk about the mechanics of the process and how the mechanics sometimes can come back and give you the wrong answer.
Yes.
So if we focus on the approval process, answer all those questions there, resolve all the problems, then the rest of it is mechanical. Okay?
I appreciate that, because one of my questions was to you was related to, for posterity, how does a board look back and not say that we spent X amount on this category when we really didn't, and they would never be able to follow it clearly that way.
If I can provide just a little bit of information on that in my short tenure, the practice has been I receive the invoice with a check attached. I, of course, review the invoice, initial approval, and then sign the check. That perhaps may be part of the issue is, if I have any questions about the invoice, the check is already been written, which means it's sent to the ledger.
Sure.
Perhaps I can talk to my
staff. Although being a new employee,
changing that a little bit to where I review and approve, then the check's back.
Thank you.
Would make sense to me if that's allowable.
Yes.
Yeah, and then if you have any questions.
Right. It gives me the opportunity to query it before it goes into and then backtracking and backing out.
Sounds like a simple solution.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
My last comment has to do with the vehicle payments. We received Unit 20 later than we originally projected back when we first ordered it. And we had projected that the first payment for Unit 20 would be in the month of August. It didn't happen. And the question I have is, when is it we're going to have the first payment for Unit 20?
The first payment to its West American Municipal Finance will be October.
Any other questions regarding the financials and budget analysis? Okay, let's move on to D, which is the administrator's report and financial review.
We have copies of my notes.
Somewhere.
Verbally, to run the account, you and I shared this. It's in your packet. You should have copies. The first item, I received the resignation of our district manager, Heidi Holzman. It was received September 10th. In fact, the last date is a week from today, September 25th. I had some discussion if there was any willingness to continue even in a short-term fashion, in whatever mode you want, consulting or temporary, whatever. The answer was no. So, 25th is the last and final day that she will be here. I have consequently adjusted some of my priorities. This is obviously a short-term issue. And I have arranged for a temp agency employee to start this coming Monday. The 23rd of the year. I have an interview tomorrow with one of those candidates to see if they're a good fit as a temp. So we can get somebody here on Monday. That person has spent the last 3 days that Heidi is here learning the processes that vital. And then from there on, instituted a plan to advertise and hire a person for a permanent solution or a permanent position as an administrative assistant, which you have copies of the draft job description. Whether this temp person is feasible, possibly that this temp person may want to continue this, it's a good fit for them and for us. They would be a welcome course to apply and interview for that permanent position. We'll proceed from there on that as it develops. Plan is in the works to provide continued service in that role.
We apologize to the board members that there are many things in this packet that are coming through late, and that's partly because I was on vacation while Mike was orienting, and so we know this is not the easiest or best way to go through a packet, and it won't happen again. And
I'm sure it will be smoother.
It'll get better. But I wondered if you might, since you're going to be recruiting for the assistant to the district administrator position, if you might highlight anything that you changed or modified in any way so that we have a sense of what you're looking for and we might give you feedback on that.
Well, it is a slightly different job description than the person who's currently there. In generality, it covers those duties as necessary. I believe this is a pretty strong job description. It is a draft because if you want me to put in the board, I have not advertised this as of yet, but I will do so very quickly as soon as we finalize this draft. From there, I've talked with a few people in the HR business in this area about what's appropriate, things like salary, benefits, whatever. And that's why I put on here it's negotiable to see how that pans out.
But basically, the position that Heidi currently occupies is going to be canceled, and a new position, different from hers, is going to be brought up. And the difference, just at the top level, the basic difference is that it's going from an exempt to a non-exempt position. So the new position will be subject to the Fair Labor Standards Act, will attract overtime if overtime is worked.
Correct.
It can be split without any difficulty into, say, two part-time positions. So I think that's really what we need. We didn't need two manager-type positions in the district. And I don't know if the rest of you agree, but that was my approach in initially drafting this job description. And Mike has added some detail that I left out. So.
And that is the direction I'm exploring too, is if I can locate two people who would like to do it in a part-time fashion, and that one of the advantages that I see is them, being how we have a small office, it gives us some backup redundancy. If one person is sick, vacation, whatever, we have a second person who knows the details. So that's going to be my primary search. Failing that, I'll have it back to a single person.
And we have not had a chance yet to approve a salary schedule to go with that plan. So we might need to have a quick special meeting in order to do that for you to be able to make timely interviews and
because it. Salary surveys for the area in this type of job, so I have some information. I just didn't feel confident putting that down at this point until I get a little stronger handle on it. See what the temp agency's got input on that. as far as what's reasonable, expected. You know, we'll attract the right person.
Jeff, do you have any input on what we're talking about? It looks like you might.
My only initial question is this person going to be a union representative employee? Has there been any discussion with Daryl Sheck at SEIU?
Because we're talking about two part-time people, I would assume it would not be union represented as a part-time position.
Our current, as I reviewed some of that information, currently on either side of the house, part-timers are not included in that, in those union agreements. And even on, if we do end up with a full-time administrative assistant, and I've brought up more conversation with Jeff about the legalities of that, but it does not appear that the current agreement would apply. Different job title, and that agreement actually expired months ago and is up for review and negotiation, whatever. So, but I will be cautious to make sure that we do what's appropriate.
Well, I just want to make clear that we're looking to we're looking at a different position.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a completely different description and title as well. So, I will check that box and make sure that it's appropriate.
Great. Thank you very much. Did you have any questions for us from your report?
Just going down very quickly, I also received a letter which I distributed from Lynn Seeger CPA terming the agreement to provide services to the district. It came in on September 11th, and the termination date, I didn't hear, but it is also September 25th of this month. It was September 25th. I attempted contact by the phone. I just this morning got a return voicemail, but it was a whistle playing home tank to try to explore it a little bit more. But basically, that's part of I need to seek out a new CPA firm, and if the board has input on that, of course, I would welcome it. And I've already been in touch with the Finance Committee about that process to get that taken care of.
In terms of looking for a new CPA for the monthly close process, not a CPA for the annual audit, two different things. I think we should wait until we see the quality of the person or persons that we get, because they may be able to perform the monthly close process that Lynn Singer and her staff performed, because the previous staff was unable to perform that.
So more on that.
Is that something that you would want ideally to be put into the job description so that that could be understood, or would you rather simply look for it?
I think developing monthly and quarterly accounting reports, etc., forms the day-to-day accounting operations. Inherent in that is to complete the monthly close process.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, it says performs all accounting and banking transactions required, including banking deposits, payments using purpose-designed software applications, implements and monitors the monthly, quarterly, and year-end closeout accounting schedules, and generates all reports.
It's inherent.
Yeah.
Related to this, and again, looking for direction from the board, I had a conversation with an individual who is not a CPA, but is a bookkeeper, fiduciary, history, and can perform some of these functions. What I don't know and need help with is, do we have to replace Lynn Singer with a CPA, or can it be other qualified person? We could come in on just an as-needed basis once a month or whatever, and all those functions that the new administrative assistant maybe would need assistance with.
I believe that Lynn Singer was originally brought on board to do bank reconciliations. And I understand that there was a concern many, many years ago that because it was a small shop, that it would be prudent to have a second set of eyes on a monthly basis to look at the financials. And the decision was made to have that independent person focus on bank reconciliations. And I believe their motivation, and I don't know, I'm guessing, was that if there was one asset we wanted to protect, it was the cash in the bank. Okay. But Lynn Singer's responsibilities were expanded because 2-3 years ago, the outside independent auditors came back with a list of issues that they were uncomfortable with that were not being performed. And a previous administrator, in conjunction with staff, came to the conclusion that they were not capable of performing those issues. So the resolution of that was to have Lynn Singer do those functions. I think if we get someone who is truly a bookkeeper and knows how to close the books, that many of these issues will go away. And there's always going to be the concern of the board of we have a very small shop where a lot of functions are concentrated in an individual person. Okay? And a lot of the normal checks and balances are just not inherent in a small operation. That's just the reality. And we can rely on the outside CPA at the end of the year, okay, and their look at the controls and react to anything that they may or may not bring up. Or we could have someone come in periodically to do maybe a quarterly audit.
So is this required and or recommended that I seek out a CPA for this function, or should I continue a conversation with this this bookkeeper that appears to maybe...
We can't afford a CPA. In that
well,
position.
Right.
Their salary level would be...
Well,
higher.
Do I need to replace the same with same?
No, I think we need to change the order of what we're doing. I think we should get fully staffed, look at the quality and capabilities of the staff, and then make decisions based on that.
Very good. That sounds...
I mean, ideally, if one of the part-time personnel that you hire happens to be strong in bookkeeping, great. Mm-hmm. Even better if they understand accrual accounting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It may be a benefit if the chairman of the finance committee so agrees for you and the chairman of the finance committee to co-interview some of these candidates at the appropriate point in the interview process. Bring Bill in if he agrees so that he might be able to advise you what kind of role that person seems to be capable of fitting.
Absolutely.
I'd be happy to help.
Very good. Okay, and just again, I'll try to be brief. The item of the Finance Committee meeting, we have Bill's report. I requested the EMS billing study that I've taken on as a task be delayed into the decision for the presentation, be delayed into the October meeting, giving me time to complete a quality cost analysis of the options for that. That study and that make my appropriate recommendations. And we also, along those lines, attended a firefighting meeting at San Luis Angeles to report, and it went very well, I think. Any discussion for that item?
We do have under regular business E2, the review from the Finance Committee.
Yes.
Would you like a motion to remove that from the agenda, or would the Finance Committee or you wish to keep that on for general discussion?
I think we can entertain a motion to remove it from the agenda because we have, in essence, covered it here.
Okay.
We have copies of the Finance Committee.
Is there a second to remove that from the agenda at this time?
Second.
Any discussion?
No.
Any public comment? all in favor?
Aye.
No opposed? 4-0. Thank you.
Good. Item 5, similar, property and facilities committee meeting. I attended the following day, and we reviewed the parking lot taking bids, that's on the agenda as well. So for that agenda item, if you want to tackle that now, it's up to you.
I believe for that level of financial allocation, we need the board vote to approve.
I just wanted to mention that I was involved in that. Item six, thanks to Tim, the generator is purchased and in service, ready to go. We're no longer getting lights out. Thanks to both sideways.
So we can all come to the station for our hot chocolate.
In fact, just a few nights ago, sitting in my motel room, there was a momentary blackout scheduled.
And you ran across the street?
No. I just sat there in the bedroom. I had my flashlight. But that has been completed, thanks to Tim. The window cleaning that was initiated prior to my arrival has been completed. That's all done in wood. And then I've been doing some meet and greet with allied agency representatives. Vince Barucci, the San Luis Obispo USA director, went quite well, very cooperative. And also Scott Jalbert, the chief of Capitol Fire for this county. And William Hollingsworth, the Cambria Fire Chief. I've met with all three. Everything went very well. We're getting along quite well and building those relationships. I'm going to skip the next two just for a moment because I just want to briefly just talk about number 11. My plan is to, after doing some investigations into it, proceed with the website update and get our new website going. I've looked it over with Jeremy, who's here, if you need to answer any questions. It looks extremely professional, and there's a lot of reasons why I think it's going to be very helpful and very cost-effective. To get that up and running.
We do have an ad hoc committee of the board that is a communications committee, and it would be terrific if that committee could have a chance to preview it in case they have any ideas that they'd want to contribute, if Miguel's willing to do that.
Mm-hmm. And then we have, for the number 9, to go back to number 9, the trust development update, we have a printed out copy from Matt Woodard and Woodard Wallace about the an update on the trustee, copies of that. He is available by phone if you'd like to ask him questions. Put him on speakerphone if you'd like. But I requested from him is an update, and should the board decide to proceed, what is our next step? And that's what we're relying on.
Well, if we can do it now to answer those questions, that was something that we thought would be. Would that be amenable?
Do we have the revised one?
We do somewhere in our pile.
There's a lot of stuff.
We're really sorry about that. I have it here. I can share it. Let's see.
The one that starts with a mic.
Yeah, it's a copy of an email. Sorry, it's not in a more formal format.
Yes. So
just
we have questions. We have two ways we can do this. We could call him. It sounded like he wanted to be able to explain some of his questions and hear our answers, and we could probably do it quickly if the board would allow.
And just real, I don't want to jump around too much, but just number 10 we can do, basically arranged for the phone interview with Shay Thompson during the session. That's all that says.
Well, I would like to thank you for taking the lead in short order and getting a great deal accomplished for your first 3.5 weeks or whatever it was. So,
I appreciate that, and it has been due in large quantity by the support of the board, the staff, Tim, Jeremy, everybody has been super. A lot of what I've accomplished is because of team support, so thank you. All right, let me get Matt on the phone.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Well, let me try his office number just in case. That was his cell. Hi, Bethany. This is Mike McDonough with the Cambria Community Healthcare District. Is Matthew available?
Well, I can see he's out of his bed. Hold on just a moment.
Thank you.
If necessary, I think I have identified.
So sorry, we're not picking up this extension. Is there a message I could relay?
Yes, we're in our monthly board meeting, and Matt said I could possibly call him in on a conference during the meeting. He also, in his email, said it was either himself or Janet. If he's not available, is she available to answer any questions?
Let me double check. Hold on just a moment again. Thank you.
The hearing is going crazy.
The person at extension 1008 is not available. Record your message at the tone. Press any key or stop talking to end the recording. To save this recording, press 1. To listen, press 2. To re-record,
print 3. Okay. So what I would propose, given that, but thank you for trying. There are a few questions. If we all agree, I would be happy to take the liberty of reporting to him. And there are a couple questions I think we quickly need to discuss, if you don't mind. He asked who the Cambria Community Council is, and that is who our successor trustee would be. In other words, if we went out of the business of running a foundation, they would get whatever funds we had. They are a nonprofit community, a 501c3 community group, and they collect money from the community through donations all year and some other projects, and then they, as a board, make decisions about how to give that money to the community. Other nonprofits in town tend to use them as the successor trustee because of their general nature. The downside is that they have a general nature, and so you're not going to be giving it all to first responders or to necessarily to healthcare. But they seem to be the broadest group in town, and it's my sense that if the community gives to the Cambria Community Healthcare District, they're giving their money locally. They would probably prefer to have their money given, stay local, than go to, say, EMS America or whatever. So that's an assumption. We do need, every trust has to name something to be a successor recipient of funds if something should happen. And that was what I recommended, and that was his question.
see Mike. He's Matt.
Yeah, hi, Mike. How are you?
Oh, good. I've got you on speakerphone. You're in the board meeting, so they can hear you.
Okay. I've entered the board meeting. Great.
And they were just discussing what you sent me this morning, the email.
Okay.
Hi, Matt. We're
getting up. Those discussion points, did they make any sense?
Yes, I think we have some answers, and you may have some questions to our answers, but it's great to be able to get this done so we can keep moving this forward. Your first question is, you know, what is the Cambria Community Council? And I was just, it's a nonprofit community organization in town. It solicits money from the broad community once a year, and its board makes decisions about how to disperse that money within Cambria. Because we are, so it seems to me that I'd like to think of our entity continuing into perpetuity, but should it not, it seems like that would reflect the kinds of place that most people who give to us would want, if that makes sense.
I am having a little difficulty hearing you,
okay.
But I heard that it's an organization that's in Cambria that meets once a year. Did I hear that part right?
No, once a year they solicit. Can you hear me better now?
I can't hear anybody now. Are you able to hear my voice?
Yeah, I can hear you. Great.
The speaker, the microphone, in that too. Now that I've connected to.
This is testing.
Mike, I'm hearing you now, sir, if you can hear me.
Okay, and can you hear me? This is Barbara.
Oh, yes. Hey, Barbara.
Hi.
Nice to hear your voice.
Oh, sorry about that. In brief, they are a nonprofit 501c3 in the community. They once a year do a community-wide solicitation for donations, and then they meet and disperse those monies to entities within Cambria, to nonprofits and within Cambria. So it seems to me like they would be a reasonable and good successor trustee should we need to do that.
Yeah, that sounds like a perfect choice.
Great. Now next you ask the question of do we have a trustee as a single person, or can the whole board be in that role? I guess with an administrator or a board president could be in that role, but I was thinking, because the board meets so frequently and is so often asked to operate in not in unison, but as one entity, it seemed like it might be good to have the board be together as the trustee. But you may know bits. You may have a.
Well, how about the board president then? And that way we'll keep the advisory provisions so that it's the board president's always acting with in concert with the board at the advisory committee's specific instruction. But I really do think that will make the administration easier, smoother. I really do think that that there will be, otherwise you might run into issues about the concern of who's actually entitled to do this transaction, and who's the person who's preparing the accounting, and his responsibility is. I think it'll help clarify if we do pick a board president.
Okay, is everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
The next question I identified was that if the trustee will be just the entire board, then you would be removing the advisory board provisions, right? So that's your item number four.
Yeah, that was my thought, that we don't need that. They would just be looking at themselves. There would be no point to keeping those advisory board provisions, or at least we'd make only operational if there was, for some reason, some different successor trustee. But I can't really even think of the circumstance. Other than you folks saying, this really isn't workable. We should amend this trust via court order or otherwise, so that there's a different trustee in place. And so maybe we would keep it for that reason, but we'd have to change the provision so that it's a role that only is created if the board's not serving as trustee.
Okay.
You skipped over three.
Well, trustee is one individual. Well, see, that's a different situation.
We're talking about it being only one individual.
Okay. All right. So
do we want to place limits on the trustee's authority without express approval of the board?
That's
his question.
So if it were the president, like maybe I'm just assuming, if it's the president, then the president would be limited, just as the president is limited in other kinds of transactions and issues. I would think that, how would you recommend?
Well, I think the president would have to act within the established bylaws. For example, if there's an acquisition over $25,000, the president can't unilaterally make that decision, and it has to be brought before the entire board. The board says, yep, that's fine. You want to acquire an ambulance? Acquire an ambulance.
Okay, but my understanding of the role of the trustee is not in deciding how to spend the money, but in actually just running the foundation, and then would bring the needs and to the board. So, help us if we're misunderstanding your question or the proper answer.
No, both of those answers are great. It really is up to you guys and what you envision. So, if you folks envision the board giving the marching orders for any type of, like you just gave a perfect example, any type of transaction over $25,000, it has to be pre-approved by the board, before the president's authorized to do that. That's a great example of something that we actually had in mind, something like that. But that otherwise, you do want the president to be able to carry on, normal, as trustee, carry on normal day-to-day business activities, which might be, paying a small bill, writing or making a small distribution, hiring the, paying the CPA's bill, et cetera, retaining a CPA to do something. So you do want to, authorize them to make little decisions like that, without needing a meeting every time. But it does sound like you folks meet 12 times a year, is that correct?
At least.
Yeah, okay. And with that in mind, that is frequent enough that you could probably not worry too much about a stalemate, that there's no pre-authorization to do something, and therefore the trustee has to sit on his or her hands for too long. I like the idea of authorizing them to make some sort of smaller transactions without pre-approval, but no entering contracts that are over a certain amount or take longer than a year, and no expenditures over $25,000. And I think those are all prudent provisions that can both give some freedom for the trustee to do their job, but also ensure that there's no there's no transaction or agreement that's entered into that hadn't come before the board for the board's express opinion on it.
Sound good to everybody so far?
Yes.
So the purpose, you asked the question about whether the money would go towards district-owned facilities and equipment or otherwise, and I believe my understanding is that it would be entirely our facilities and our equipment that we want the community to know that they're supporting the Cambria Community Healthcare District in its two major things we do, which is to recruit healthcare and to run an excellent ambulance service.
And we own the facility.
And you own it, yeah. That was the important question, because if distributions do need to be to a either a public or charitable organization, and just for our own, let's call it nonprofit status. So we don't want to. I wasn't sure whether occasionally you made a distribution that was to benefit the community, but it was actually to a third party that's not a nonprofit or not a tax exempt organization. So that helps clarify for me that the district actually does own those things that it distributes to.
Great. Well, we really appreciate your being accessible for us to help answer your questions so that we can keep this moving along. We're excited about this and can't wait to get it going. So just appreciate.
Yeah, we'll update with this information, and
We had, just make, I'm just skimming through the trust to make sure that you know, we highlighted a few provisions just to pay some special attention to, and I think that we've covered all of those. So we will implement the changes here, including, you know, some of the other things, Barbara, about not you know, not appointing a co-trustee, etc. No compensation for the role, though there is and the ability to hire professionals. So we'll go ahead and implement all these changes that you sent me that I now have, plus this discussion. And we'll get it to you before the end of next week, if that's an okay timeline.
That's great. And then what happens after that? Just quickly, what should we anticipate the process being from here?
Well, we'll send you a final version, and presuming it checks off for all you folks, we need to get it signed, and there's some ancillary documents, not that many, but a request for a tax identification number and a couple other items. We'll need to get your signatures, or at least a signature on those items, plus everyone's signature on the trust. And then after that, the trust is effective, though we will need to submit some specific tax-related forms, but that will happen over a period of time. So we'll continue to get that process done. But you should have what I think is a final version of your trust by next week, and then it's simply you folks actually coordinating your own time to sign, and we would actually be more than happy to come up, you know, if you want to do I'm not exactly certain how that process goes, that meeting process goes, if you'd have to notice it on a different time frame, or if you can just call a meeting to do that, but a time where we can get all of the board members to sign the trust, have the trustee, who will be the board president, signing as agreeing to serve as trustee. We would notarize everyone's signatures, and then it is effective when you sign it. So the next steps then after it's signed, it's finalized and signed, are you know, setting up an account using the new tax identification number that we'll obtain for you. And then it's the other tax submissions we'll prepare on our end, and that should be over the next, you know, number of weeks.
Great. Any other thoughts?
Will we get a document back from the IRS approving the nonprofit status of the trust?
Yes, but not for some time. It's there's a process of the submission, and then an item that comes back, and so this trust falls into this status as essentially like a non-qualifying but qualifying entity. So yes, you will, but it'll be over some period of time, that process.
When you say some period of time, is it 6 months, a year?
I was just going to say expect 6 months, but it could be less.
Okay. And during that time, can we represent ourselves, say, as a grant applicant or to the public as a...
Yeah, so long as the materials have been submitted, then to the... As long as the right materials have been submitted, yes. Yeah.
That's great. Well, we appreciate Jeff recommending you, and we appreciate you coming to serve us, and look forward to working with you on these last steps.
Great. Awesome. Well, I will, we'll get you this next week. I should send it to Mike. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Okay. We'll send it to Mike, and we look forward to any feedback that you might have after this meeting. If there's anything else that comes up, or further questions or changes of art, but otherwise, we'll prepare based on this conversation and the input we already have, and I think it'll be a final version when you get it next week.
Great. The one thing I just thought of was that, as you know, from time to time, the board members change, either through election or sometimes resignation, and then appointment, and so how does that... Well, do you need any language in that about how that changing of the guard goes?
Yeah, let me revisit the document and see if I think that it's adequately acknowledged that of course, this isn't... None of you are indentured servants here. that this is a group that is, of course, subject to change, and we do want to make sure that's accounted for, and that's why I think it's a good idea to name a position like president of this board, because that position is not going anywhere as long as there is this board. So I'll review and make sure that I think we've adequately covered that in the advisory committee provisions. That's absolutely one of the primary concerns.
Okay, great. Any other questions for Matt? Thank you again, and I'll look forward to talking to you and meeting you in person.
Absolutely. I look forward to it as well. Thanks so much, you all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If I might, Madam President, just as a point following on Matt's comment, final approval of the document should be done in a notice meeting.
Yeah. Okay, good. A notice meeting or a regular meeting?
Well, it could be a special meeting.
Okay.
But it should be done in a public manner.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, well, thank you for that, everybody. Moving on, the president's report is short. Two things. First of all, the First California Physician Partners is having an open house tomorrow from 4 to 6 p.m. You remember that is the entity that the health district helped recruit to town, and just thought it would be nice for you to know in case you wanted to drop by or crew wanted to get some hors d'oeuvres from 4 to 6. They are marketing themselves at this one-year point since they initially started. And you get to meet Allison Lewis, the internist there, and the rest of the staff if you choose. In addition, I've been meeting again with the three presidents of the three districts, and if it would be okay with you, we will be sending out another newsletter to the public in the November bill of the November Canberra Community Services bill and the San Simeon Services bill. Just an update, and it'll be something that I will share the content with you before it goes out to our public. Healthcare advocacy report for Lori is in writing, but Miguel, do you have anything you would want to add to that?
No, just the fact that we have the classes coming up for balance and strengthening, and that's the only thing I know.
Okay. And do you need any help getting the flyers or the banners up or out?
No, they've been distributed all over the town and San Simeon.
And what's the date we should remember?
It starts the 24th, September 24th.
Okay, 9/24. Thank you. Any questions for the Healthcare Advocacy Committee? Bill, the Finance Committee, please.
The Finance Committee had a meeting to discuss possible alternatives to the current billing system. And Mike is doing a lot of research to give us some alternatives, and we'll be meeting sometime in the next month to we'll have a report back hopefully sometime next month.
Thank you. Any questions? Iggy?
The Property and Facilities Committee met for the sole purpose of reviewing bids submitted pursuant to the parking lot RFQ, and that's an item of regular business, and I defer further discussion to that item.
The Grants and Foundation Committee is Lori and Bill. Lori provided a written report. Do you have anything you want to add?
No, I have nothing to add to her.
Okay, thank you very much. We are now entering regular business, item E, and we will be talking about reviewing a proposal for repairing the district's parking lot for possible action.
So, I was disappointed that the original estimate of $30,000 was exceeded by approximately 50% by both responsive and responsible offers. Those were, as shown in the report that you have before you, Toast Paving and R. Burke. And I guess the issue is, there certainly maybe are alternatives to
having the overlay put on the parking lot, but I think in the long run, anything else that we do will simply cost more later, simply because there'll be more pavement broken up. And what the Property and Facilities Committee chose to recommend was not the low bidder by cost, but the best value. And the RFQ by Amendment 1 had been amended to be a best value acquisition, meaning that if we found more value in one proposal over the other, even though it might be higher cost, that we could award to that higher cost contractor. And that's exactly what's happened in this case, because Toast offered 1.5 inches of overlay over the Petromat, and Burke offered 2 inches. And while 0.5 inch doesn't seem like much, it was the combined view of those present, meaning Mel McCullough, Barbara Gray, Mike McDonough, and myself, that 2 inches of overlay would last considerably longer than just 1.5 inches overlay, particularly if there's any softness in the pavement underneath. So that's what we're recommending. Now, from a financial standpoint, Director Rice, we have allocated overall approximately $56,000 in this year's budget and have spent less than $4,000 year to date, if I make memory serves me correctly. And so that leaves approximately $52,000 left in the budget. And I frankly don't have any other major projects in mind for the rest of the year. At one time, we thought we might do something with a retaining wall, but I think in the budget process, I decided against doing anything like that. So, although $46,500 exceeds the amount of money that we set aside for this project, it does not exceed the total amount of money budgeted for this fiscal year for facility maintenance and repair. Now, there will be additional facility maintenance and repair as it comes up. For example, the electrical panel has to be fixed. The crew might want to have a proper carpenter come in and close the new electrical panel. Things of this nature. But in terms of anything major, I'm not aware of any other major expenditure that needs to be made this year. Tim, do you?
The only other major expenditure that I'm aware of is going to be the base station radios. I'm not sure where I'll pledge to do that.
That could be included, and I think you had said that the overall cost would be under $2,000.
Yeah, it's going to be just under $2,000.
And so there's some play there.
Yeah, we have all the parts ordered, so the parts are coming. I just don't know line item's falling under.
And again, I think since that's a permanent facility item, then it should be charged to this line item.
Right. Other than, if we have another plumbing issue or something like that, that's the only thing I can see.
Basically, we have around $53,000, I think, left, somewhere in that range. And so we're going to be using $46,500, assuming there aren't any last-minute changes. So I think we're okay.
Yeah. I think so.
Okay.
It's hard to know.
Yeah, it's hard to know. But if we have to dip into anticipated reserves, well, then I think this is a good reason to do it. And my recommendation also is to have the notice to proceed issued on or about the 1st of November. And the job should take somewhere on the order of a week. I think we should give CHC the opportunity to either move out for whatever week the contractor and Mike agree upon, or stay in operation and let parking occur along Main Street. Because as long as we don't have people who choose our parking lot to park and go to work, other than the people that live in our building, I think it should be all right. Because I would think that CHC has no more than 3 or 4 patients at a time.
And staff.
And then, of course, and then staff will have to figure something out. We could probably move reserve ambulances to a different location, like maybe by the Clydesdale site or something. I don't know.
I'm sure I can get arrangements to have parked up and fired temporarily.
Oh, so that'd be better. You know, and that would free up several parking spots.
We do lease, or all Liberian leases 4 parking spaces from us, so we should notify them. And we might want to find out what the proper procedure is about warning people not to park here subject to towing if they should park there for the beginning of the project.
We'll have to rope off the parking lot once it's decided what week the work is going to occur.
I'll work on those logistical issues.
Any questions for Iggy?
No.
Just a word of caution from the finance side here. This is a big bite out of the Apple facilities budget. There's not much of the Apple left. And we need not to be victims of having a small remaining budget, but rather work with that small remaining budget and do everything humanly possible to continue to meet the total amount. I understand things happen, unexpected things, but we need to still work diligently to manage within the total amount of the budget. But I think this makes sense.
So a warning but an approval at the same time.
Correct.
Miguel, any thought?
I'll go for the warning.
I do have a question with resurfacing. I'm sure that Mike has a map, or do we have something that's going to define what area is going to be resurfaced, and so that I can figure out strategically where we're going to have ambulances staged?
Yes. In the RFQ, which Mike has, there is an outline in red. And basically, if you go whatever direction, but parallel to where Heidi usually parks her car, right? Just take a line and go to the curb, right?
Okay.
Towards the hillside.
Right.
Then you follow that curb, and they, by the way, will have to find where the curb continues, because right now it's under dirt.
Correct.
In a portion. And part of the contract work is to take that dirt and place it elsewhere on site, not somewhere where it will simply just slide back down the parking lot. There's an area that's fairly flat where there's some trees and shrubs, just south of where the dirt has sloped into the parking lot. Anyway, it's up to them to find the continuation of that curb, clear that dirt out, and push it above so that it doesn't just slope back into the, into the paved area. Then they go to where that bench is, and again, it's defined by a curb. Then it goes out to the line of the street, of the normal paving of the street. Then it goes up to the sidewalk, or down to the sidewalk if you're going south. It goes down to the sidewalk, and then follows the edge of the sidewalk, and follows all the paved area up to the blocks, and to the ramp that gains ADA access to that building.
Gotcha.
So that's what's being repaved. They're going to remove all the berms. If they break in the process, they can pitch them. But it looked like there was actually only one berm that was cracked. Now, some cracking may occur as they were moving and so on. But they're to remove them, replace them after being painted, and then they're going to restripe the lot once it's got the overlay, just as it is now. Mike's going to see if the parking spot where Heidi normally parks her car can, without cost, be converted to a handicap parking spot. If they can, then there'll be one additional handicap parking spot.
I imagine it would just be color, whatever it is, because it's already striped, so if there is paint stripes, blue, and that first.
Yeah, whatever is blue is going to be blue, whatever is white is going to be white. Yeah.
And I'll work with you on the logistics of coordinating all that.
Right. So I can't imagine with the available parking within a very short walk that we can't park either side of
any public comment?
No, that's fine. As long as I know, though, because it doesn't sound like you guys are not gonna resurface in between the two buildings, correct?
Nope.
Perfect. So yeah, by moving the ambulance is fine.
Yeah, and the reason, by the way, for everyone's information, that we're resurfacing and not just patching and putting a slurry and chip seal on, is that one of the experienced contractors that was present for the pre-bid conference said, in a parking lot, you can't do that. You can do that on a road because you don't have the constant turning of wheels. But where you have constant turning of wheels, it just destroys that chip seal. And so we just removed that item from the bid package.
Well, I'd like to thank Iggy for doing a lot of work with a very thorough and workmanlike job of dealing with the workmen and the project. Any public or staff comment or at this point? I would entertain a motion.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the resurfacing of the CCHD parking lot as described in the facilities, property facilities.
A second?
A second.
Any more further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? 4-0. Thank you very much. If we move down to E3, we had talked about a revised assistant to the administrator job description. I'm wondering if we should, for formality's sake, approve what we received today from Mike, and if people would consider either making changes verbally now or sending them to Mike just so that he can feel that the board has reviewed what he's proposed.
I think that makes sense, and I'd like to make a motion for that to happen, to approve what was presented today as the revised job description for the assistant to the administrator.
A second?
Second.
Any discussion? Any comments from the public or staff? All in favor?
Aye.
And no opposed? 4-0. Thank you very much. This is an item that is designed to allow us to, in closed session, talk to a proposed labor negotiator. Similar to a process that we did last month, that will allow us to ask what we need to ask.
So we need a motion? I'd like to make a motion that we name Jay Johnson interim labor negotiator for the purposes of interviewing him today as possible labor negotiator.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? 4-0. Thank you very much. Item number E5 is related to our new administrator's contract. In seeking to sign Mike up for PERS, it was discovered that the contract language, the provision is in fact not legal, that under PERS requirements, the organization cannot indeed pay the PERS portion or the PERS amount, I guess is what the word would be. So I wanted to bring this to your attention because the contract needs to actually be changed. It's you have a contract there, but it's under retirement 7B. It says the district agrees to enroll the employee in the California Public Employees Retirement System and to pay the employee's contribution to the Public Employee Retirement System. And it goes on to say, employee specifically and knowingly waives any rights to benefits identified in that other resolution, Resolution 508, related to lifetime health care benefits, or as may be applicable under state law. So we need to remove that if we can, so that Mike can go ahead and get PERS retirement benefits, and it would be on his own dime. And then,
so, in other words, removing the words "and to pay employee's contribution to the public employee's retirement system" because that's against the law.
Yes. That's my understanding. Jeff helped us write the contract, so you may want to elucidate what we're doing here.
I did. I spoke with Heidi about this briefly. I will confirm that that is, in fact, the case. This was private language in the contract. Assuming that I confirm that that is correct, I can make a very brief amendment to the president's signature.
So Assembly Bill 340 was after Sarah's agreement. Is that the reason for the
body would have to check my hand?
But it was in Sarah's contract?
Yes.
So what we would do is just go ahead and do that. And in terms of the relationship we have with Mike, we may choose to ask the recruitment committee to take a look at the situation based on this and come back to the board with any recommendations, if that's amenable to you. I know no one, these things happen. So I would need is a motion to actually make that modification in Mike's contract. And we actually have very little choice, but we would still need to make this motion to do it.
And just as my 2 cents, my understanding is basically that it will state, the amendment to state that I have to, that the employee, myself, will pay the required amount, a share of the person. And it does, it can vary from year to year. So, you know, if you put a dollar amount or percent amount, just that I will pay whatever is expected.
We appreciate your understanding of our collective situation.
I move to make that change in Mike's contract in order to comply with Assembly Bill 340.
I second.
Any questions? Any discussion from the public or the staff? Any other questions from the board? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? 4-0. Thank you very much. The next item was simply to suggest or to support Mike in releasing a request for proposals for accounting services. It seemed like it was a reasonable thing to do to see what might be out there that we are not aware of. And I thought it would be good for people to be able to suggest to Mike anything that they thought we should specifically ask for in that RFP.
Okay, now, is this in essence, the replacement of Linsinger?
It would be, if we got what we wanted to. It doesn't mean that we would be doing it that way, but it would allow us to see what was out there, who was out there interested in that service, and it would then go to the, I would assume, to the Finance Committee, working with Mike, to see what the best ultimate structure would be.
I would recommend at this point against this, that let's wait and see what the talents and capabilities are of the staff addition or additions, depending on part-time people, and then make a decision. And the decision would then be made, if we were going to make a decision to do this, we would be able to identify what talents and weaknesses that the staff does not have, so we can write a proposal to complement that and fill in those holes. I'm not speaking against this forever. It's just a timing issue. I don't think that's... We're at a point where we know enough to make a valid decision.
So one thing when you put out an RFP is, as you know, you don't get an instantaneous flood of people. I just wonder if it might help Mike and the Finance Committee to read what might come over the transom from accounting firms to have a better sense of cost and also skills and services that they might be broader than we imagined or whatever. If it isn't sort of, I would call, free information to assist in that process, and it would be more timely if we went ahead and asked for it before we need it. But that's...
I think Bill's point, though, is that you don't really know what to ask for at this point. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
Okay. Is it that it's that varied? I mean,
yeah.
It's...
And that's my point. That's why I put it, or requested to be on the agenda, is just to get direction on that. Where do we go from here?
Miguel, any thoughts?
Well, I agree with Bill. We postpone and see what happens and get somebody from the personnel to do that.
Would it be necessary or appropriate to give Mike and the Finance Committee together the board's approval in creating a request for proposal if they collectively saw fit, so you wouldn't have to wait for a meeting to actually do that?
I would vote against doing that. I think that we should, because this is an important subject, that at some point, be it a month or two or whatever the time period is, we should bring it back and talk in detail about specifically what we're looking for, because this could function as a very critical control to protect the district and the directors against anything that could happen financially.
Okay. So I'm feeling there's a consensus to table this item for now.
Yeah.
So just to clarify for me, from my direction and understanding, based on your experience and so forth, the relationship with Lynn's program, CPA services, ending on the 25th is not a critical time. Like, we don't have to have something in place the 26th. We have some time to explore this in greater detail, which sounds good to me.
And remember, you've got Bill.
I would recommend that the focus be on finding the new individual or individuals and replacing Linsinger, if at all, is a second stage.
Okay. I shall consider it tabled. We are now at the end of our formal regular open meeting agenda. Are there items that you'd like to declare for next month's meeting?
Just a point on, we revised, and I think you have a copy of the updated today's agenda. There was one other item that I put in.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Yes.
There's another sheet to that. I'm requesting the board change the October board meeting from October 16th to either the prior or the latter Wednesday, by Wednesday month. There's a board meeting there. Prior result amendments to attend the MS Barbers that we'd like to still do so. And just to reassure the board, I will work very quickly to make sure that the process is in place, that the operation will continue in my absence for that. I've already had conversations with Tim and their staff that they're very supportive of making sure. And of course, I will still be available electronically should the need arise. But I would like to not miss the meeting. So if we can change it to the Wednesday before or the Wednesday after, that's what I'm requesting for this permission.
Bill, do you have any preference? You sound like you do.
Yes, I do. I think to even think about the 9th, is an unrealistic date for staff, whoever is left, to prepare much if anything. And if we move it to the 23rd, it gives that much more time to put together as good a board package as we can get at that point in time.
And I should have added, that is my preference.
Yes. What about the 30th?
That would work for me as well.
Now November's meeting is the 2nd Wednesday.
Not the third.
Yeah, that's just traditionally that's.
Oh, because of Thanksgiving.
Because of Thanksgiving.
I would prefer the 23rd because I have a sense that we'll have enough buildup by then to get the work done, and it also would mean that we don't end up too close to the next month's meeting.
Well, the problem that you need to think about as well is who's going to put the board packet together.
I'll work towards that.
Well, when do you come back?
It's the week of the 14th, Monday. The plan is to fly back on Saturday that week. Mm-hmm. Leave Monday, come back on Saturday to town.
Yeah.
And then,
so
I would do most of that work right before I leave. I'll make sure that.
Well.
No, but there's things that.
And my. Our,
but aren't going to be ready.
Whether it's a temp or whatever, the person that's here in that office will be able to, you know, bring in your board agenda items and so forth and process them appropriately.
I think you're right. I think
the November meeting could also be delayed by
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Thanksgiving happens to be late this year.
Oh, that's true.
I like that.
So we want to do that.
Yeah.
So we'll have the October meeting on the 30th and the December meeting.
Does that work for you? Miguel can't do the November. Any date? Either one? Are you gone the whole month?
No, just a week.
Well.
Okay.
Well, I want to. So you're talking about. Okay, just make. So we'd have a meeting on the 30th, and then we'd have a meeting on the 20th. And you can't make the
20th. Not the 20th, but that's okay.
Could you make a different day of the week?
I'd be gone that week.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that's going to happen.
That's why we have five.
Okay.
All right, so.
One person.
We're changing the meeting in October to the 30th of October.
Federoff so moves.
Is there a second?
And the, oh, no, wait, wait. and the November meeting to the 20th. That's the complete motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any questions or discussion from the public or the staff? Any further questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Well, only a bill four. Anyone else for? Iggy?
Yes.
All in favor?
Oh, I quietly said yes.
Okay, I didn't hear you. Miguel? Okay, 4-0. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Board, for accommodating my request.
The
Declaration
of future agenda items. I'd like to put the Monterey County contract on the agenda. We last looked at it in January of 2018, I believe. And so by the time we do this, it will be timely.
Okay.
Any other agenda items people would like at this time, knowing that you have time to add them later? Well, there being no...
So, for future agenda item, we have consider alternatives to the current ambulance billing system for direction and possible action. And then do we have another? I'm sorry, I missed.
Yes, consider revision of the Monterey County contract.
Mm-hmm. And then what about, are we going to have a special meeting then for the trust?
Depending on how it hits our meeting schedule. Working with our administrator, we will collect the necessary data to make a case.
I just want to put who's responsible. So.
Thank you. There being no further business, the meeting is adjourned to closed session.
Yeah.